and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we've been filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton,
and her very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right, she's my BFF.
Yes!
And we like to think of ourselves as America's BFFs.
That's right, we are your backup and your blackup.
When necessary.
That's right.
Besties. It's 6 minutes past the hour.
Yes, and the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12 or 1-800-783-7412.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You can also email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela1.
You can tweet with us whether or not I like it.
Yes, tweet, tweet.
And just so you know, for those of you who are new to us filling in for Stephanie and the Mooks, Frangela's just start both of our names smushed together in one.
That's right.
So it's just Frances plus Angela, you get Frangela or Ansys. But we thought that sounded like a Christian rock band or a foot disease. Not that we're against either.
Girl, my Ansys is acting up.
Yeah, so we decided to go with Frangela.
Yeah.
Also, it preserves my entire name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
So, there's obviously a lot going on today
so
and in the news. But we thought we'd start this morning about talking about whether or not President Barack Obama is, quote unquote, overexposed.
You know, nothing makes me want to pull my eyes out more than having to hear this on a day-to-day basis being perpetrated in the media. Finally, we get a president, in my opinion. And your opinion may be different.
Exactly.
But we finally get a president who we see, who is not on vacation, who is bringing his message to the American people. And I want to say this, too, is not being manipulated by the news media. So what used to happen was that the president would put out a message, then the news media would interpret it, then we'd have all these talking heads,
right. All
these pundits going out there and discussing and telling us, the American people,
right. What
the president or what government meant by what they said, right?
Exactly.
But now we have a president who comes out and talks to us.
That's right.
So we don't...
Wherever we watch, whether it be Leno, you know, or online.
Or 60 Minutes, he's going to hit a program that you like.
Yeah, he's going to be on America's Biggest Loser this week, I'm sure.
I am sure.
The Amazing Race something. He's going to show up in one of the locations. Be like, let me talk to you about my plan and why I'm not raising taxes on 95% of this country.
Girl, you made me choke. It's true, though. It's true. And I actually really like it. For some people, it denotes or gives them a feeling of being uneasy because they feel like the president isn't working. But let me tell you something. I know he's reading things and doing work. You know, this is the thing.
I can't hear that critique, though, Frances, because and we keep saying this, I know. But follow me, if you will, Stephanie Miller listeners, and give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. I just need, and we had a caller yesterday who said it very articulately, you can't keep changing the finish line, right? You can't keep changing the way the criteria.
Right.
You know, so one day he's not working quick enough. The next day he's taking on too much and moving too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
One day he's overexposed and everywhere. Another day he's lazing around and taking time to be on Leno.
Yes.
One day he's involved in too many things. He's got his hands in too many pies. The other day, what's he doing? He's not letting us in on what he's doing.
Right.
And every day the critique is the opposite of the critique the day before.
Yes.
Which, let me tell you something, as a person who at one point was a child, there's nothing that's as frustrating as feeling like you can't win.
Right.
Feeling like every single day
you're
going to get critiqued for something.
Yeah.
And I understand that's part of the job, mm-hmm. but the reality is I feel like that we're seeing the critique be on a very personal level rather than on a policy level.
Exactly, exactly. So now Obama's going to turn to the web and totally bypass the news media. And he's going to go on the Internet and do a town hall, which I think is unheard of.
Well, I mean, we do have town halls. Presidents clearly have had them before.
You know, but online.
And also this early not in an election situation.
Right.
But because the reality is, you know, I was looking at this story, and I'll find it in a second, the other day, that a lot of Americans still are laboring under some misinformation.
Yes.
That's been, I'm going to say that hasn't been corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Let me not blame them entirely, by many of our media outlets.
Yes.
For example, I think that more than half of U.S. adults, 52%, said the claim that Senator Barack Obama's tax plan would raise taxes on most small businesses is truthful, where, in fact, only a small percentage would see any increase. But that's been one of the talking points, right? And what happens is, this is how they do it. Whatever the news agency is, and it's across the board. Mm-hmm. It's all over. It's from Fox, ABC, to everybody, right? Except, of course, us. But what happens is, they get some pundits on there, or maybe some elected officials who don't agree with the policy, mm-hmm. and they say, this is going to raise taxes on small businesses. That's the backbone of America. And then nobody corrects that.
Right.
Nobody questions it. Nobody asks the question. Nobody says, well, where do you get that information? There's no, and there's just a few websites like that pick it up and say, well, wait a minute, where did you get that information? And so that's how the story gets printed, without there being a critique of it at all.
Right. No, in fact, I have to say this. At the end of the day, there's very little journalism going on, and a lot of talking about just whatever I think, you know.
Right.
But, you know, the reality is, you know, Angela and I are sitting in front of, I'm going to say, 100 articles.
Easily.
You know, mm-hmm. just to even look up and see what, you know, various opinions and information and points and facts are. So, you know, it's sad that here on the radio we do more research than I feel like I'm getting out of my news organizations.
Well, this is what I wonder, though. Is it that they don't have the information, or that it just isn't as juicy? You know?
Or salacious.
It's just not as interesting to have a headline that reads, Obama's tax plan will not raise taxes on small businesses, rather than, the ones I'm reading, which is, Obama's tax plan could mean crazy end to all small business.
That's right.
And then you read through the article. We had in the LA Times last week, there was an op-ed that asked whether or not, he was actually repeating somebody else's phrasing,
mm-hmm.
but the writer asked whether or not Obama had reached his Katrina moment.
Right. That actually sent me personally into a tizzy, because it's like, are you kidding me? Seriously? Is this the level of, you know, of whipping up the public that
right.
we're going to go in this direction? I mean, and I've heard it be asked, is Afghanistan Obama's Vietnam?
Right,
I've heard,
right.
you know, I mean, 10 different ways to
Man,
try to...
he's not been in office for 100 days.
No, not at all. The number here is 1-800-STEF-12. That's 1-800-STEF-12.
It's amazing, though,
yeah.
because, you know, in the article I was just referring to by Frank Rich, he starts out with this very kind of, like, what did you say? Alarmist couple
yes.
first sentences. A charming visit with Jay Leno won't fix it. 90% tax on bankers' bonuses won't fix it. Firing Timothy Geithner won't fix it. Unless and until Barack Obama addresses the full depth of America's anger with his full arsenal of policy smarts and political gifts, his presidency and worse, our economy will be paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it was Paulette Altmaier of Cupertino, California, who in a letter to the editor published in the Times last week said, President Obama may not realize it yet, but his Katrina moment has arrived. And the reason that we were so troubled by this is because, first of all, that the Katrina moment was Bush's.
Yes.
Let's be
thank
clear
you.
About that. And that to compare a budget being outlined to a national tragedy of such epic proportions where people died
yes.
and are continuing to suffer
yeah.
seems grossly inaccurate at best.
Yeah.
And so, but it's interesting to me that what we're reading is article after article about, like, I still don't know exactly what Timothy Geithner said on Monday
right.
in the pen and paper discussion.
Right.
I still have yet to learn to get quote one, really,
right.
out of that. But I can tell you that people feel that Rush Limbaugh is still concerned about the teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That people are assuming that there's been a drop in Obama's popularity. Some people are, without having actually anything to base that on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of Timothy Geithner. He is going to unveil some regulatory agenda probably today, I believe. And he's also going back to Capitol Hill today, right?
Yes, he is.
Yes, because let me tell you.
I think
you.
They're going to start outlining some of the regulations, if
yes,
you will, some
yes.
of the safeguards, perhaps.
Well, you know what? I just hope that today goes a little bit better than Tuesday, you know, because if you
it would hard to be hard to go worse.
It was hard. Let's hear the type of questions that Timothy Geithner can expect today.
Are you going to give us the chart, or are you going to hide the ball?
I'm not going to hide the ball.
Are you going to give us the chart?
I will reflect on the suggestion you made and see if that is a reason.
In other words, you won't commit to telling the American people how many folks at Goldman Sachs or AIG are going to make $1 million this year.
Congressman, I will think carefully about your proposal.
Thank you for thinking. Let me move on. Well, I'll move on to the next question.
Okay, thanks. That's the Democrats.
Yeah, that's the Democrat.
Are the Democrats for Timothy Geithner?
Harsh. See, this is the thing. I would. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna effort that. And I gotta post it here. Wait.
Right.
Let me write that down. Find out. What was that again?
That information is on my desk back at the.
My secretary was supposed to put that in my briefcase too.
You see what had happened.
Okay. Let's start with this. I understand your pain. I want to validate your criticism and critique. Okay, first, let me start there. Second, I don't, can we move on?
Can I have a pass? Can I have a drink of water? It's hot in here.
Is it time for a break?
Ooh, it's hot in here. It's really hot.
Yeah.
Is anybody else hot?
I hope he's ready. I hope he's had his Wheaties, as they say. Because today is I believe it's expected that some of these regulations are going to come out. We've been seeing all week articles about, Treasury looking to increase its power, its reach, its ability to shut down or take over imperiled businesses. And so I guess we're going to hear today, hopefully, about what that means and if that's true.
Right. You know, we're still doing our research on that and looking at this. I don't know how comfortable I feel. And maybe it's a new day. It's a new question. It's a new way of thinking about this, but the Treasury taking over failed businesses in this country, expanding their power and their reach in, one man's hand. I don't know how I feel about that, Angela. I'm going to say in my gut, I don't feel well. I don't like it.
I'm going to say I understand. I understand your what do we call that? Your fear, your trepidation, if you will.
Yes.
The situation that we find ourselves in, I think that it's clear that there have to be greater regulations. I think that most people are saying that. And one of the discussions we've been having this week, and we should continue having, is, the Republicans, we said it yesterday, and then there's news today that the Republican Party is, they're coming up with their economic alternative.
Right.
Which I really feel like, okay, good. Because we just said it yesterday. We had several calls yesterday that was like, okay, you're the person in the room who says no to every idea, but doesn't have one.
Right.
So this, apparently we can look forward to this new exciting economic budget proposal, which I have a feeling is going to start with tax cuts. I'm just going to throw a wild guess out.
There's going to be some tax cuts.
For the highest earners, too.
Absolutely.
And for big business. Because that's worked out really well.
Oh, my goodness. Give us a call here at 1-800-STEPH-1-2. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and you are listening to The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mom and the Mooks are on vacation, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her very BFF, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
That's right. It's 24 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. That's 1-800-783-7412.
And please give us a call. You can also email us at frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. And you can also tweet with us at Frangela 1.
That's right, at Twitter. You can tweet.
Yeah.
And we do answer all our emails. So it might take like a day or two because there are lots, especially when we fill in for Mama because Mom's got lots of good fans and listeners.
Yes.
But we do read them, even if you don't right away get your response.
Yes, and and especially if you can't get in on the phone lines for some reason, definitely send us a note over at Facebook or at Frangela.com.
That's right. That's a good way to get through.
Yes.
So we were just talking about this, the constant, ever-present critique of Obama. Doing too much, doing too little, doing not being entertaining enough, being too entertaining.
Yes.
That's the one that kills me. We saw the critique earlier this week about giggling on 60 Minutes.
That's right.
And being on Jay Leno and being way too flippant, if you will, or cavalier, mm-hmm. I think was one of the words.
Cavalier,
when so many horrible things are going on in the world. Forgetting, of course, that our former president went to the Olympics.
Yes.
Like during wars. But anyway... Anyway, that he's been just too giggly and having too much fun and just being all over the place. And then we start reading today the critique of his press conference the other night as being boring.
Yeah, he was boring.
He wasn't entertaining enough.
Let's talk to Joyce in Fort Lauderdale. Joyce, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, gals.
Hi.
We love you here, listening to both of you.
Thank you.
I must say this. First of all, we're very fortunate to have a president like this at this time.
Yes.
In my opinion, I think that they're setting the bar way too high for this president. There's no one, in my opinion, that could even do what he's done in this short a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the media is the way they are is because there's too many of them. It's 24/7.
It is.
They have to find a reason to have a job. So let's tear it this way, let's tear it that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the best part is that any intelligent person listening or watching, and I do this because I do this a great part of the day, watching MSNBC, CNN, just to get feedback. And it just it's beyond words, actually.
Yeah.
How and what they do.
Thank you, Joyce.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, I totally agree with Joyce. The reality is that I am a news hawk, if you will. I won't use the other word that I like to use sometimes. But I am. We are, you know, and I especially watch a lot of the news media. I watch every channel as much as I possibly can. And it's interesting how, you know, they're just trying to create stories over and over, trying to see if they're sticky. What they can get to stick today in the media. And I'm sick and tired of it. Let's talk to James in Syracuse. James, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I think Fridays with Frangela should be the entire Friday, not just the half
hour. Oh, that's sweet.
You're
thank you.
Sweet.
Okay, first things first. Did Frances get the front seat of the car fixed, or does she still have to use that?
We did get the front seat of the car fixed. It was really bad.
That's because
Jelly
remembers that. Frances is, shall we say, petite?
I'm vertically challenged.
You know, there was a time in this country when you could get your car fixed and not have to wear platform heels to reach the pedal.
I know.
Her seat wouldn't move forward, so we had trouble. I had to pick her up. It's a long story.
It's a long story. But what you were saying about, you're going to say about Obama not being overexposed?
Oh, I don't think he's overexposed as long as he keeps his shirt on.
Oh, don't take that away from us, James.
Well, he's making old guys like me look bad.
Oh, James.
Thank you so much, James.
Happy birthday, Frangela. Say happy birthday to James. I turned 60 on Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Have a wonderful birthday.
I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful birthday.
Oh, that shirt. Okay, I know we're gonna be, you know, adult and stuff, but I really liked the photo with him.
That was, you know what?
In
I had forgotten about
way.
It. He was very presidential, but he was very, like a fudgesicle.
It was just delicious.
Okay.
Let's all be honest. We all know that he's in better shape than all of us.
Yes, he is.
Okay, there it is.
We're going to get back to your calls when we come back. Our number here is 1-800-STEP-12. That's 1-800-783-7412. We are Frangela filling in for Mom and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Welcome back. Those always crack me up.
Too.
Thank Chris LaVoy for that.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. We are Frangela because Mama and Mooks are on the vacation this week, so we're filling in, and that means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her BFF, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
We just took our names and smushed them into one, so you'd only have to learn one.
That's right.
You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can follow us on Twitter at Frangela1.
You can tweet. on Twitter.
The number here, I'm sorry.
It's 33 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
And we've been talking about whether or not, how. First of all, I'm going to say that the media, they seem a little upset that they don't get to take center stage in the political arena anymore.
That's right.
And, if, you know, there was some suggestion in a number of different outlets over the last couple of days that Obama's polling, his performance rating has gone down.
Yes.
But actually, in fact, two separate polls are showing that he's hovering near a healthy 63% or 64%,
mm-hmm.
about almost 60 days after he took over the Oval Office, which I would say is a very good approval rating.
Right.
Especially given everything that's going on right now. It's a very good approval rating. It's certainly astronomically larger than our former president's last approval rating.
Absolutely.
And even when you think about the fact that since the recession began, now that they're saying that there was one, and we're in one, in December of 2007, that over 4.4 million jobs have been lost, and more than half of those just in the last 4 months.
Yeah, wow.
So to have a 63-64% approval rating,
yeah, it's pretty good.
When you've lost over 2 million jobs during that period of time, not mm-hmm. you, not him, but that's happened, I think is very amazing. And the town hall, the internet web town hall,
yeah.
I love that the articles are saying, that the way that they're reporting this is that Obama's going to be doing tonight, I believe, right?
Yes.
Obama turns to web to bypass news media. That's how they're writing about it.
Yes.
Like, they won't be there, too.
You know, it's just like, he won't talk to us.
But you're only supposed to talk to us, and then we talk to them.
Yes.
You pass notes through me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of political strategists, like I believe Simon Rosenberg, who's a political strategist, I have a quote here from him saying, he is allowing everyday people to participate in a way that would have been impossible in the old media world.
That's right.
As in 6 months ago.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is a new day. Let's talk to Michael in Minneapolis. Michael, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning, my surrogate mama.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you guys, you do need some MOOCs, though. You need some fill-in MOOCs.
It's hard to find good MOOCs.
You got to have somebody to bash around a little bit. You know, here's the thing. You know, much like our vaunted president, it's every time I see the man, I really feel like somebody should start playing the soundtrack from the first Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, here's this guy. He's been hoisted on this, you know, god awful train wreck of an economy and
yeah.
a
mm-hmm.
and so much for a country. And all I hear from the right wing morons, because much like Mom and the Mooks, I listen so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least here in Minneapolis, these morons are like, well, he's been in for 60 days. How come he hasn't done anything? And these idiots just don't. Nobody has a sense of history. It's like if you look back to the last time this kind of debacle occurred,
mm-hmm.
The president before, his name was Hoover, and because everyone in the financial industry at the time told him, don't right. do anything, don't touch anything, and then it was a complete total debacle.
Yes.
And then FDR came along.
Yes.
And now, you know, in retrospect, all these, you know, right wingers are going, well, FDR, it took him 5 years to
exactly
to fix it. It's like, guys, that's because it was such a big freaking mess.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you, Michael. You know
yeah.
what? Yeah, I am sick and tired of everybody talking about how, you know, the New Deal didn't do anything, that FDR didn't do anything.
Or that it was a bad idea.
It was a bad idea. It failed. You know, and we have so much to show in this country from the New Deal.
Well, you know what kills me, too, about this critique of the president being in all these different outlets and being everywhere? I think that it's a weird critique to me to hear, especially from, you know, and I'm not into bashing and name-calling, and I don't care about the labels, but when I'm hearing it from the Republican Party, what I don't understand is, wait, you have Rush Limbaugh, you
yeah.
have Hannity, you have all these outlets
yes.
that are frankly just outlets for your agenda,
yes.
generally.
Absolutely.
And you're going to critique a president talking to the citizens who elected him?
Right.
I think it's amazing that, you know, when you talk to people on the street, you know, there's this article where they're talking to people on the street who are like, I didn't even vote for him, and I think he's doing a good job.
Exactly. Let's talk to Jane in Evanston. Jane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Oh, good. You got me just before I went into work.
Oh, good.
You know, whatever happened to the honeymoon? As Obama mentioned that in the news conference, it was like, you know, America was ecstatic for what, about 24 hours?
Yes.
You know, and the boomerang hit. And, you know, I hate to throw this into the mix, but I think what's going on here is not only fear of change, but I think there's some racism moving in here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this man is necessarily being judged the same way that former presidents have been judged. For God's sakes, at this time with Bush, first of all, he wasn't even really elected. Mm-hmm. He was probably on vacation.
Oh, yes. I'm willing to bet he'd been at the ranch before 60 days were up.
Exactly. And I bet you couldn't find the bathrooms yet.
Okay, now we're being mean.
The thing is that everybody who has sat in with meetings with Obama says this guy is so well prepared. He reads all the briefs. He is up on everything. This guy ain't on no vacation. This guy is doing the best job that anybody could ever anticipate. And I am so pissed at the media. I'm about ready to go into a news blank, and I'm just like you are, and it's really hard. I'm addicted.
Yeah, I am, Jane. I got a problem.
But I can't handle it.
Yeah, thank you, Jane. Have a good day at work, too, girl. Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm looking at this, you know, and I'm going, there's the expectation and the level of blame that is being placed on Obama day in and day out is astounding to me. And it's as if the last 8 years never happened. Let's talk to Ozzy in Detroit. Ozzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
I'm just totally fed up because they truly want to blame Obama for the mess that we're in. They're trying their hardest.
Yeah.
They really want to blame him. And as far as the Republicans, you can't sit back and justify after 8 years.
Yep.
What we're going through, all they can come up with is, not our fault.
Yeah.
It's not our fault.
Yeah.
Nobody else is around. It's not our fault.
Exactly.
And as far as the media can make or break you.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to go on this TV show, go online, talk to people here and there, because what he tries to tell you, the media twisted around to where he didn't say it.
Exactly,
Thank you, Ozzy. You know what? In fact, Obama had something to say about the Republicans and his critics. Let's listen to that.
First of all, I suspect that some of those Republican critics have a short memory. Because as I recall, I'm inheriting a $1.3 trillion deficit, annual deficit from them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like another reason why we're not invited to these events.
No, we're not.
Because we would have been like, snap.
You know what? He's right, y'all.
Well, I think that you can't, every day, it's like they think that we're not paying attention. You can't, on the one hand, this is what kills me. He's not moving fast enough, but they haven't come up with their alternative plan yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a budget that's already got a vote.
That's right.
Right? From Obama, right? He's already put the budget out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about it. It's starting to get voted on. We've had a plan. He's already started to deal with stem cell research.
Yes.
They started to make a troop withdrawal plan.
Yes.
We've been talking about reversing FDA policy in terms of, you know, reproductive rights.
Yes.
All these things are happening, and they have yet to come up. And I have to make this critique of every Green Party, whoever you are, where's your alternative plan?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have an alternative plan, give us a call here at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-783-7412. If you're holding on the line, we want to hear from you. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we've been filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to say Angela V. Was it Sexy Britches? Angela V. Sexy Britches Shelton. See, that time I sold it.
A lot of people are really weighing in on that.
Well, I need a tag, and I don't.
If you have a tag for Angela, please write us at frangela.com or at Facebook. Or post
it's a desperate. And I think Travis and I think Hugh have coming up with some good ones. It's 47 minutes past the hour.
Yes, it is. Let's get to the business. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
That's right, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Yes.
And we've been talking about the media's critique, and I think I think they're feeling a little jealous.
I think they are. They're
a little left out of the slumber party.
A little bit like a jilted girlfriend.
Yeah, they're like the girl that goes in the bathroom during the slumber party. When she comes out, everybody's giggling, and she doesn't know why, and they won't tell her. And she feels kind of left out. She's trying to do inside jokes, but they're like from a day ago. And so everybody's like, oh, that's not the joke anymore.
Well, you know what? It's definitely they are trying to put him in his place. They're trying to say, you know what? This is how we do business. And if you want us to present you and your message, you're going to do it the way we want it.
I have a little personal sort of anecdotal story. I have a friend of a friend, is the way I'm going to put it, who works in the White House, and not with the president, but in the White House.
Right.
And they were this friend told us that first of all, the Obamas, and I think we mentioned this the other day, that they had a party for all the people who work in the White House, like, and their families.
Yes.
And I mean, like, the butlers, the, you know, waiters, all those people, all the guards. So and that's the first time that anybody had ever remembered that happening.
Right.
So they were very, you know, it's a much more open White House, et cetera. And it was, a great thing for them to do. But this friend was complaining about she's like, everybody's working really hard, like 24 hours a day. And it's just all this work. And we had been joking, Francis and I have been joking on our show in KTLK for weeks that, the White House people must be mad because they're not used to having to work.
Yes.
That's why, I mean, they work hard, clearly, don't get me wrong.
Right.
That, Obama seems to be like he's working
24/7.
Or he's exercising.
Yes.
And so, literally, she was like, that they were kind of, she's like, well, and I think that she was looking for empathy for me, like, it's just, we've had to work, we're working all the weekends. And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
I want you to work. I want you to work all the time. It is an honor and a responsibility.
Exactly. And if you don't like it, then get out the way so somebody else can come in.
Because there is somebody who
work.
Will take that job.
That's right. Let's talk to Judy in Orlando. Judy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Mean girl.
Good morning.
It's so nice to hear you.
Thank you.
Well, it's the first time that I called, but, I have so many things to say, but I know it's radio, so I'm going to try to make it short.
Okay.
First thing, my husband is a Republican, and I'm a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So I support Obama 100%, but my house is in fire. We're always arguing.
Yeah.
There's no way to get to a happy medium here. And I'm just trying to convince him, but he was listening to nail boards for over a year, and he got a brainwashed.
It happens.
Right now, one of you said something before about that whatever Obama does is going to be wrong for the critique.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 100% agree with you, because it doesn't matter what he does, and I always tell my husband, okay, if he does this, they jump to that side.
Yes.
If he shows up, they're going to change daily, and I'm talking about some Republicans. I call them the one with microphone, because I know that at this point, there's Republicans that are kind of, they're not supporting them 100%. So I don't want to be unfair.
Thank you, Judy.
I agree. It's interesting. After the speech, the press conference, these are some of the critiques we're hearing in the press. Hannity called Obama, quote, boring and dull and uninspiring and unconvincing. Then, which I think he could equally apply to himself.
But before, he was too charismatic and articulate.
It was the politics of personality.
Yes, and he was a celebrity.
Then also in the New York Times, there was a Los Angeles Times, actually. New York Times, I'm right. Peter Baker and Adam Nagorny wrote that Obama, quote, sounded like a teacher speaking in the stillness of a classroom where students are restlessly waiting for the ring of the bell. Then in Los Angeles Times, Andrew Malcolm wrote, Professor Barack Obama showed up. And if you remember one of those required college lecture courses in a large auditorium at 8:10 a.m., listening to him droning on and wishing he could, sleep longer. New York Times, same sentiment. For just under an hour on Tuesday night, Americans saw not the fiery and inspirational speaker who riveted the nation as it addressed to Congress last month, or the conversational president who warmly engaged Americans in talks across the country, or even the jaunty and jokey president who turned up on Jay Leno. It's amazing to me. Instead, he basically went on and was placid and unsmiling.
Well, you know what?
And he was the professor in chief.
I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say this just in general about people and perceptions. People are multifaceted. Okay?
What?
And there isn't just one type of person. We all have different sides to our personality. That's what makes us complex human beings. I hate to say it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think may not seem related, but I think it's always funny people talk about comedians. Sometimes when they meet comedians, that they're actually some of the most depressed and depressing people you've ever met.
Absolutely.
And you could think, oh, this person does comedy. They're going to be fun all the time. And that's not always true.
Yes. Let's talk to AJ in Pompano Beach. AJ, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Howdy there, Sugar Bridges.
Thank you. I love Sugar Bridges. Nice.
Yeah. I pretty much got an idea that was thought up
around in the 30s when the Big Depression happened. First Depression happened, because we're in the Second Depression right now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Thank you. We agree.
It's brutal out there.
It is brutal.
It really is. But basically, the government. Obama said that we're 1. Blah 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 trillion in the hole. What he failed to mention was that the Republicans that were previously in office borrowed against the Social Security and were probably closer to 50 or 60 trillion in the hole.
What?
Yes, we're closer to 50 or 60 trillion.
What's
in the
another
hole.
30, 40 trillion?
The number can't be measured, because they've worked so many deals that they can't. You can't pin down an accurate number, basically.
Right, right. And I think he was talking about the yearly, that 1 trillion is a yearly deficit, right?
Right, that's yearly, but you know, I'm talking about, you know, they borrowed against Social Security, they've made so many backdoor deals with China, Japan, Germany, Poland, whoever would loan us a buck, they're still trying to figure out what happened to the $9 billion that was missing when they shipped 3,600 tons of cash to Iraq.
AJ, that amazes me. Like, they sent pallets and pallets full of money, money over to Iraq.
All the contractors to grab as many duffel bags as you can and show up at the airport. We've got a surprise for you. But basically, what we could do, just like they did when we built the Hoover Dam and did all the
works
that we need to repair now. First of all, we could start working on the roads again. But not only that, we could start another industry in itself, just prosecuting the people that put us in the position that we're in now.
It could all be
because we got all these lawyers that you know, because everybody and his brother wanted to be a lawyer.
You're absolutely right, AJ. Yeah, I want to know right now, in our thoughts, meditations, prayers, everything, go out to the people who the Red River situation.
Yes.
That river is flooding, and they've been, you know, they may be calling for an evacuation. I know they've asked people who, if you have difficulty moving, or if young children, or you're older and infirm, to leave now, so you're not caught up in, you know, the chaos of an evacuation. But these, you know, this is the thing. They know it's coming. There it is. And I feel like these kinds of national tragedies, or these kind of national emergencies, when they happen, especially when we can anticipate them, why aren't we more ready for them? Why don't we have our National Guard? Because, frankly, they're in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yes, they are.
We have those problems, number one. Number two, all of the money is being diverted there.
Yes.
So they don't have the million sandbags they need.
No.
So they're sitting there, everybody's trying to fill sandbags.
Fill up some pillowcases.
And they've known this was coming, and they've been trying to prepare for it. And thankfully, people know it's coming. They're trying to prepare for it. But we don't have the tools to keep us safe right now. And that is because we, as a country, we have allowed our infrastructure to crumble and fall apart.
Yes.
Because when those taxes, and we've all done it, when you go to vote and you see that increase your tax by this for roads, or increase your tax for this for education, or increase, they don't want to do it. That's why the bridge falls apart.
Right. And you know what? And I know that this is hugely unpopular. Obama out there trying to sell this budget and look towards our future. And at the end of the day, I have to say that makes me feel good. That makes me feel like, well, at least maybe a road will work while I'm on it, or a bridge won't fall out from up under me in the next 10 years. Because I got to tell you, there's something looking kind of rickety here in Los Angeles.
A little rickety.
And this is earthquake country.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to say hi to the live bloggers.
Oh, hi, live bloggers.
And, you know, we'll be, when we come back, we'll be talking more about this, so please stay on the line.
Yes.
And hold your calls. But I wanted to read, you know, we're going to start talking about the economy. And tonight, as we were saying earlier, Obama's going to be giving a town hall, internet-based, web-based town hall, taking questions both in writing and from people there, too, in the East Room, I think. So we'll be watching that, and we know you will, too. But somebody on LiveBlog was talking about the mandatory overdraft fees at banks, and that was something we started talking about yesterday in regulation in the banking industry. Yeah, it was Dem Dame.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that more when we come back also.
Yes, and we'll be talking about Timothy Geithner and this gaffe he made about should the international currency be the dollar, after Obama said, it should be. He came out and said, no, well, we're going to think about it. Come on, Timmy, get on the same page.
He had a rough day, Francis. Okay. It was a rough day. Plus, he's not charismatic.
Yes, the number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. This is Frangela filling in for Mama and the Moots, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we've been filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her BFF, Frances Callier.
That's right, and now I'm Sugar Bridges.
Yay!
Which we might remember from Mel Gibson.
Nice.
Now, Frangela's just our name smushed together. Don't be afraid of it. It's just F-R-A-N-G-E-L-A. You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela, and at Facebook at Frangela Duo, and at Twitter at Frangela1.
That's right. You can tweet with us. Mm-hmm. It is 6 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2 or 1-800-783-7412.
It is Thursday, March 26th, and we're talking about the president and the media's reaction to the fact that he's holding a town hall tonight.
Yes.
And that he has made many efforts, particularly in the last few weeks, to come out in front of the public and talk about his budget plan and talk about the plant and toxic assets and mm-hmm. jobs and everything, rather than just holding press conferences exclusively for the media.
Right.
And critiques of that.
Yes, and in fact, you can go to whitehouse.gov and click on answer your questions or open for questions. And, you know, the president is taking questions from just regular people.
That's right.
He's
Didn't you read an article the other day, too? You were telling me that he reads 10 letters a night or something?
He reads 10 letters a night every
randomly
night.
From all the letters that come to the White House.
Absolutely. And he wants to know what we're thinking. Because, you know what? I'm going to say this. He is of regular people.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come from a financial dynasty.
Interesting.
So I think that it's really, even though he may be the president and he may have been inside of politics, he doesn't come from that. So that's my opinion.
I also think that the reality is that he's hipper.
Yeah.
And
far more savvy. And at least has savvier people working for him.
Yeah, and that when we see all around us, I know there's a bill out there to try to stop the loss of so many local papers, but, you know, when so much of our media, so many of us are getting our media through the computer, you know, whether that be just TV and film, but news, you know, and so many people are getting information in different ways. I mean, I have friends who really get all their news from Perez Hilton.
I know.
Tell me about it. You know, in this age, that's the way to move forward, really, is to talk to the people directly.
I get a little news from Perez.
I know you do. And you know what? Ain't no shame in your game.
No. Let's talk to Tom in Ohio. Tom, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, how's Frangela this morning?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I just love Obama and the way he smacked down Ed Henry.
Oh, wasn't it good?
That comment, I don't know if you guys touched it yesterday. I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
But because one of that snippy questions, why did you say anything right away?
Mm-hmm.
Says, because I like to know.
Oh, well, we have it.
Yeah, we'll play it for you, Tom.
Oh, that was double snaps and a Z. And then he came out and pulled the guy up by his tie.
Yeah.
And now Ed Henry has the unmitigated temerity to put out his own version of it and say, well, it wasn't like it seemed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, rewriting history, Ed, we saw it. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, hey. We could play it in case people didn't hear it or they missed it.
Yes.
Okay. On AIG, why did you wait days to come out and express that outrage? It seems like the action is coming out of New York and the Attorney General's office. It took you days to come public with Secretary Geithner and say, look, we're outraged. Why did it take so long?
It took us a couple of days because I like to know what I'm talking about before I speak.
Okay. Dang. I know you're not used to that from this office,
yes.
But over here, again, why Frances and I are not allowed to be in the White Horse.
I know.
I think it was a smackdown, and maybe there was a little toed. Really, when you see it, the look is better.
Yes.
Because the look is kind of that look your mother would give you in the rear of your mirror.
Exactly.
You know, in the car, like, seriously?
Do I have to come back there?
And you'd be like, oops.
And do I have to come back there?
Exactly.
It was too good. It was too good. Let's talk to Lori in Chicago. Lori, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, my
my God, I'm so glad I get to speak to you. I think you guys are wonderful.
Thank you, Lori.
And why in the world you don't have your own show, I don't know. Because
we don't know either, Lori.
We're clueless about it ourselves.
You're so funny, and you're so informative, and you're so articulate that, I mean, you just, a lot of these crazy policies that are going out there, yeah. You kind of break it down.
Thank you, Lori.
Everybody can kind of understand, you know. But I wanted to kind of comment on Obama's speech the other night, and I wasn't able to watch it, but mm-hmm. I was able to listen to it on the radio when I was driving home, and I thought it was very informative and very yeah. interesting. I don't understand where these crazy commentaries are coming from, saying it was boring, it lacked jazz hands and spirit fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, girl.
Very good. And I think that perhaps I had the benefit, the fact that I wasn't able to visualize
right.
anything. I actually had to listen, which perhaps it would behoove some certain news organizations if they bothered to do that.
Well, you know, I
think
agree.
That they might learn a thing or two. And also, I wanted to kind of comment. I wanted to give credit to one of your callers who called in a few days ago because I've been listening to you all week because you're fabulous.
Thank you.
He suggested that for the bailout that we go ahead and rather than bail out these people who, for basically, you know, if their names were Calabrese or Gambino, they'd be, you know, racketeering charges.
Okay. Lori, I've been saying it all week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I think, why wouldn't they? I think it just seems easier and less, for lack of a better term, less paperwork involved if the government were to just give each and every individual taxpayer a CD that then went into the banks.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. you know, that over a period of time would mature. And, you know, I think that, you know, as a military person, I'm military, and this economy doesn't impact me the same way that does other people. But I think that it would definitely help our economy and help get, you know, the banks able to lend out more money and just get people off their feet a little bit.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lori.
Yeah, we keep asking this question. Why can't we get the money to people, to average people? Why can't we get rid of our consumer debt? Why can't we get rid of our toxic assets? And I'm asking the question.
Right, because I'm going to tell you why. America runs on cheap labor, and we cannot allow the middle class to rise up. We can't allow poor people to get into the middle class. We have got to keep people working for little to no money, because that is what makes these companies work. Okay?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to throw out this idea. Whenever I hear that, you know, companies can't afford health care or companies can't afford to pay a living wage, then maybe they don't need to be in business. Like, I just, for me...
Because isn't that what business is?
Well, for me, when I go out to a restaurant, if I can't pay for the meal, then there's a problem.
Uh-oh.
So I don't get to go, but you know what? I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
My meal experience, I did eat it. But what I can afford to give you is this.
Right.
So, you know, and in fact, there's lots of articles today, jobless claims are up, you know.
Yes.
And I think that these numbers are low because people are getting dropped from their unemployment because they've run out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not getting necessarily how bad this is, but in the week that ended March 21st, a total of 652,000 people had filed their first initial jobless claims.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up 8,000 from the previous week's revised figures.
Right.
And the number of people filing initial claims for unemployment benefits has been rising, and those filing continuing claims hit a fresh all-time high, according to a government report that was released today.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, can we play number 17 with Obama talking about, you know, incomes in this country and, you know, and really what that has meant for all of us in the last decade?
Over the last decade, the average worker, the average family, have seen their wages and incomes flat. Even in times where supposedly we're in the middle of an economic boom, as a practical matter, their incomes didn't go up.
Yep.
And so what we said, let's give them a tax cut. Let's give them some relief, some help. 95% of American families.
Yeah, but we also, the tax cut,
yes,
absolutely. But the reality is we need wage increase.
Yes, we do.
You know, I'm looking at articles today about the rise in shanty towns.
Yes.
Well, they used to call them Hoovervilles. During the other Great Depression, as
yep.
I'm calling it now. Particularly here in California, where the foreclosure crisis is huge, that there's, you can see it everywhere. And I'm sure in many communities,
yeah.
that families, children, you know, when you think about how many children in this country live in abject poverty,
yes.
it's disgusting.
Well, you know what? You know, just an example from us, we get off sometimes when Angela's dropping me off at my place. we get off at a certain stop off the freeway, and we would turn, and then one night there were three people sleeping up under, like,
the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Then a week later, there were, like, 10. And then the next week, there were, like, tents.
Yeah, and it was a whole city. And then a couple weeks later, everybody was gone.
Yes.
Which means they got put someplace else, shall we say, or moved on. I don't know how.
But you know what? But here in Los Angeles, at night, over 60,000 people, children, families, take to the streets downtown and become, you know, this population in our, you know, downtown area. And that's larger than a lot of people's cities or towns, you know.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's going on everywhere. And, you know, as we've mentioned before, tonight the White House is doing open for questions on the economy.
Yeah.
And so I think that if you go to, what is it, Washington, thewhitehouse.gov? You can submit questions. They'll get answered in a town hall, internet town hall forum.
Yes. Let's talk to Michael in Dallas. Michael, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hey, listen, I have 3 points if you can bear with me.
Sure.
During the first 60 days, I do know that the previous president was on vacation, an extended vacation, at least one of those, at least one part of that time, mm-hmm. at his fake ranch down in Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that for a fact.
Yep.
The other thing, another point is that part of the problem, and we've got to be patient with the media is not used to having a president stand before them, answer coherently and extensively on points such as Obama, and they're just not used to it. So we have to be patient with them. They don't know how to act.
Okay.
And
yes.
Lastly,
it's throwing them off their game.
Ed Henry from CNN needs to get a T-shirt that says, "I was bitch slapped by Obama, and all I got was a stupid T-shirt."
They should sell them on CNN.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I think he's right.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't used to having things, first of all, get done and be able to ask a question and without hearing executive privilege or we lost those emails.
Yes.
Or that's a security risk.
Mm-hmm.
We get to know.
Yes. Let's talk to Linda in La Crescenta. Linda, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, you guys are great.
Oh, thank
you. Make me laugh, and you always have something great to say.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate taking my call. Just want to think that I think we're missing the point here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All the talking heads are really funded by people who pay their bills.
Yeah.
People who pay their bills, big corporations.
Uh-huh.
And they're the ones
who
are telling, and they're controlling the message to us.
Yes.
So Obama's being very, very clever and just skipping that part.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be at Brown Merrill, people used to have ethics and stuff like that. No more. It's who pays the bills.
That's
so
right.
If you want to really understand the message, follow the money.
Follow the money.
Yeah, it's
thank you, Linda.
It is depressing. And, I see the evidence of it everywhere in terms of things. For example, now, you know, even news organizations that I thought of in the past as being exclusively very professional, all about the news. We're not about having,
mm-hmm.
you know, these models turned news anchors on in tight-fitting clothes. But then, you know, I'm starting to watch even, you know, news stations like CNN, and they start to do programming where people are sitting on couches and they're wearing skirts. They're slid up to their... And I don't have a problem with wearing a short skirt or anything, but it just... It's distraction,
yeah.
you know? And they're, you know, more and more on the, like, TV shows and
yes.
more entertainment news.
Yes.
And a lot less... And I know that there's a lot of pressure in the marketplace, but I think what you see over and over again and what we saw with this last election is that people actually do want to talk about issues.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Actually do want to know what's going on in the world.
I'm going to tell you what really messed up, what happened. This financial mess has made the average person go out and learn what a derivative is. Okay? You don't want your grandma knowing that information, because once she has that information,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't need... You know,
exactly.
a bunch of other people explaining it to her, okay? Or your mom, your soccer moms and what have you. They were like, people had looked at their 401ks and said, whoa, wait a second.
Well,
I got to get up on top of this economic information.
Exactly. In fact, today, more and more companies are cutting or ending their 401k matching plans.
Yeah.
So the battle to have your secure retirement, you know, we've heard from lots of people, you know, whose retirement due to, you know, the hedge funds, et cetera, has been cut in half,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, many cases. But now a lot of companies have decided to do, what was it, was it Starbucks? Who was it that started, they had a new plan called the voluntary matching.
Yes.
I forget the company, I'll look up the company, but there was a, it was, they had come up with some name that was like voluntary matching funds. And this is a, and that's actually a company that treats its employees
very well.
Very well, comparatively especially. But that a lot of companies are now, they've decided to opt out of.
Right. If you know, just
opt
like,
out.
Maybe if you don't want it, just, you know, think about it.
And we're going to figure out later how we feel. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting about the job situation right now, too, is that what these jobs aren't going to come back.
No, they're not. Give us a call here at 1-800-STEPH-1-2. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And for her very best.
And my very furry friend.
Francis Kelly. I'm laughing because that's my husband's theme song.
London Calling. That's what we call him.
Yeah. Hi, honey.
I think, and but we call his booty, to the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Oh, he's going to be so mad about that.
Yeah, we do a lot of that. We believe that everybody has a theme song.
Yes.
And that your booty has a separate theme song.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that just made myself laugh. Yeah, so number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
It is 26 minutes past the hour on this Thursday, March 26th.
Yes, let's get a couple phone calls in before we have to go to the break. Let's talk to Henry in Fort Lauderdale. Henry, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Two things I want to mention real quickly. I am black, and I'm married to a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I think it was on Monday evening, we were watching Countdown.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, it was Chris Matthews' show, Hardball. And my wife just blew up and said, you know, all this criticism of Barack Obama, President Obama, is racially motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I jumped up and I said, yes, that I had been thinking the same thing, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to mention it because I didn't want her to say I put the idea in her head.
Okay, yeah. Henry.
She just blew up and said, these people need to stop. This man has been in office for what? 2 months? Because all these problems that we have?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there anyone out there who really thinks he caused all these problems that we have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
They're pushing it. They're pushing it,
the
though.
The second thing, you hear all this talk about socialism and all that. Look, I grew up in Sweden, mm-hmm. okay, and my education was free. I know what I went through in the United States when I came here, and I finished pharmacy school, and I know what kind of debt I came out with.
Yeah. Mm.
When I finished my first degree in Sweden, it was free. I'm going to Sweden in April to go have surgery that over here will cost me $24,000.
Oh,
in
wow.
Sweden, $1,000. And that is just because I've been living abroad.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have to pay that $1,000 because I've been living abroad. Otherwise, it will be free.
Wow.
Okay? You know, it's amazing.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you.
You know what? We haven't really talked about it. We'll talk about it when we come back some mm-hmm. more, maybe, if people, you know, this whole issue of race and racism. And I know a question
yes.
was brought up at this conference.
Yes, it was. Conference. That's right. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. This is Frangela here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm sure you're a very nice person, and the story of your escape from the sanitarium is probably quite interesting.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks, Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward, are all on a much-deserved vacation this week. So we're filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. What am I? Sugar Britches Shelton.
Yes, and our BFF, Frances Sexy Pants Gallion.
That's right. And we just took our names together and made one, Frangela. You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo.
And we just, I just confirmed a bunch of friends.
Yes, thank you so much, because I couldn't get on Facebook earlier.
I know, and I'm not usually, I'm not good with the Facebook.
Yeah.
I turn into a granny.
Yeah.
And by granny, I mean most grannies are hipper than me, let me be clear. It is 33 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH.
It's Thursday, March 26th, and I believe right now, in fact, we have our Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, speaking and talking about the top reforms.
Yes.
He's revealing, if you will, much like a magician, revealing the proposed reforms that they'd like to put forward. And we're not able to listen to it at this second.
Yeah, but he's asking for a new risk watchdog.
Right.
And he thinks that there should be a single supervisor for finance firms that are too big to fail. You know, okay, if there's a supervisor, that's different than being able to have powers.
Right.
Over companies.
Well, we've said for the last 2 days, the speculation has been, you know, Secretary of Treasury, you know, Treasury going for power grab.
Yes.
And I believe that's even the crawl.
Yes,
right
it
now
is.
Under Geithner. Geithner going for power grab.
Well, yes.
You know, it's amazing that I think, you know, regulations, I think we've shown are a good thing when we regulate things.
They are.
And in fact, next week, President Obama will be traveling to London for a meeting with G20 leaders. And many of those leaders have indicated that they would like to see the United States strengthen its regulatory system.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very calm way of saying that they're a little angry.
They are angry. And, I mean, people all across the country, the EU president says that Obama's stimulus plan is the way to hell. I mean...
That's a little harsh.
Yeah. On Wednesday, he lambasted President Obama's costly economic recovery program as the way to hell.
Well, this is what, you know, I object to the use of the word costly, because you know what's costly?
Uh-huh.
The war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Like, let's stop acting like the first time we've ever had to spend any money was this week.
Mm-hmm.
like, the reality is, government is a huge institution. We require roads. We require money for things.
Yeah.
It's not out of the ordinary. What is new is accountability. What is new is knowing how much the war actually is costing us.
It's transparency. This is the thing that people don't understand. We could continue the bald-faced lie of not knowing and including these things inside of budgets and then keeping the American people in this cloud of misunderstanding and misinformation. But instead, what this administration has decided to do has to come out and be brutally honest
exactly.
with each and every one of us. And this is the thing, either I don't care whether or not you like it or not, this is the truth.
Exactly.
This has been the reality you've been living in within for the longest. Let's talk to Mark in Buffalo. Mark, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show here with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Good morning.
You know, the Mexican people are moving back to Mexico to find work.
I know, Mark.
Hey, I listened to the press corps, military industrial media's questions,
mm-hmm.
and I heard Rush Limbaugh, we want you to fail.
Yeah.
That's what I heard out of them. I heard Gregory after the conference using right-wing talking points. Oh, he had to use a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel guilty because they drank the Bush propaganda Kool-Aid and lied to America.
That's right.
And now they project onto Obama how they should have handled Bush, the real liar.
Thank you
that got
for
us
saying
into
that.
Every one of this. And you know another thing
mm-hmm.
that I found interesting? All the bloviators in the press corps that try to play gotcha with OB,
mm-hmm.
all of them make over $250,000 a year.
Yes, right.
Ooh,
thank
Mark.
You.
Then puts them in that 5%.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. You know, suddenly we've got this activist media.
Yes.
You know, that's concerned about transparency and what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and we need to see the figures, and this is ridiculous, and at the same time critiquing the president for being out there.
Yes. I want to read something from Arlene that came to us through Frangela.com. She's listening in Phoenix, and she said, this is what I believe. It is not difficult to understand the crap, her word, coming out of corporate media because they are successful. They're operating for malfeasance. Their intent is to deceive and lie to the American people because their owner/master is corporate greed and their true desire, and that, she says, of the Republican puppets are to destroy this nation and make us look closer to a Philippine island. Or any other corporate-controlled sweatshop abusive country.
Wow. Well,
that's what Arlene thinks in Phoenix.
Oh,
y'all.
Arlene has an opinion. You know, and I'm reading here from Peter, Peter G on our Frangela wall, Frangela Duo wall on Facebook. If there's one word that I would use to describe candidate Obama and now President Obama, it would be integrity.
Yeah.
From the very beginning of this amazing run to change the world, Obama has not lowered himself in any way whatsoever. No matter who tried and who tries to get him to wallow in the mud, from Dems to Repubs, he remains a steadfast man of integrity.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, no matter what else, no matter how I may feel about some of the policies, mm-hmm. I agree with that. One of the things I've been reading in some of our emails and on the posts, et cetera, is also people would like to hear about the war.
Yes.
You know, they'd like to hear about, you know, what's happening there. Are we going to, I'd like to hear that our troops are being better supported.
Yeah.
While they're there and back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some things that we still need to, but, you know, it hasn't been 60 days. He's done
well,
a lot.
Right. Well, you know what? We haven't been able to get to it yet, but, you know, we have an article here about the faulty wiring that our troops are dealing with.
Getting electrocuted in the shower.
Electrocuted in the shower because of, you know, bad wiring. And it's like, are you? Come on, we're killing people.
From these no-bid government contracts
yes.
to certain companies that are continually creating faulty equipment. And what's really upsetting to me, besides that in general,
mm-hmm.
you know, when reading an article about this soldier who got electrocuted in while taking a shower because of faulty wiring, and then another soldier who tried to save him,
yes.
tried to pull him out of the shower, he also was severely hurt. This man comes back, you know, injured from the war. He's afraid to take a shower. You go to war, and the thing you're afraid of is a shower?
Come on.
Because that shouldn't be happening.
No.
Okay.
No.
They deserve better than that.
Yes, they do deserve.
We all do, really, but certainly when you're in the middle of a war.
Let's talk to Jerry in Delray Beach. Jerry, this is our friend Jerry. Hey, how
hey,
you doing?
Hey, Fabulash.
Hey. Listen, I got the nickname for you.
What?
Lightning Lips.
Oh!
I like
this
it.
Is a whole different direction. I like it, Lightning Lips.
And it covers so much ground. I'm
love
still
it.
Laughing at Henry from Sweden. I love it. What is this world coming to? A black man from Sweden marries a white woman?
I'm
and,
telling you, things are changing. Things
and
are changing.
Has the nerve to criticize our medical community here? What's next? Little children in Harlem going to be knocking over candy stores for Swedish fish?
There's a lot going on in that.
She's a lucky woman, Henry's husband.
No. Oh, yes.
What you know, because I've had Republican friends who are, you know, just either go to Europe or know friends in Europe or Canada, and they insist it doesn't work. If you have to have a tooth pulled or something, you have to wait 10 years.
It's not true.
You know, and
right.
But what you were saying before about, and I've said this before to you, about Obama being in touch with how we communicate nowadays. That was my biggest thing through the election was,
mm-hmm.
We're a country of young people. And granted, we still got our mothers and grandmothers around, but do we really want an old man who doesn't even know how, who admits he doesn't even use a computer?
Right.
When we just got away from a president who actually openly admitted he never reads the newspaper, his wife had to read them to him.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you.
Jerry. Yeah. Yeah, that was disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? And that's my whole point is that this administration is savvy enough to understand how things work out here in the real world. And that we are so connected and dialed in. You know, we're dialed into, like somebody was saying earlier, dialed into 3-4 different programs, you know, in an hour. In terms of the media. Plus, I've got 8 different websites up on my computer right now.
Right.
You know, and I'm Twittering on my phone.
You know, one thing that I wanted to talk about or touch on when we come back, maybe we can talk about this more, is what are we supposed to do about the job situation, particularly when, and hopefully soon we come out of this recession, those jobs that have been eliminated are more than likely going to stay eliminated.
Yes. I'm so angry about that, Angela. I'm frangry. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
That's right. Oh, no, I'm Lightning Lips.
Yes.
Angela V. Lightning Lips Shelton.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get used to using it.
Yeah.
You gotta bear with me here, Stephanie Miller listeners. It is 47 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the economy, and right now, Timothy Geithner, I believe, is giving a press conference outlining some new, what do we call these, restrictions, regulations, a new plan to deal with the toxic assets and whether or not banks and companies need to be taken over, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking about things going on in the economy, I want to mention that the post office has told Congress on Wednesday that they're about to run out of money.
Yeah.
And basically they are seeking permission to cut delivery to 5 days a week. He said the chief postmaster general, John Potter, told Congress, quote, "We are facing losses of historic proportion. Our situation is critical." So you're talking about, we're talking about cutting Postal Service down to 5 days a week.
Right.
Also,
I need that check on Saturday sometimes, Okay?
You don't even know.
Okay.
I play weekend math.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I play that weekend bank closed math.
Tony's shaking his head,
y'all
too.
Y'all know, we keep it real because we have no choice. And also, you know, in many cities across the nation, and in particularly in New York, basic city services like transportation
are being hugely affected.
Fare hikes, you know, the MTA in New York, they just announced Wednesday morning that they're enacting a series of fare hikes and service cutbacks at the same time to keep from going broke. Now, that's how people get to work.
Yes. Well, we are having people write us and said, please talk about MTA going up $1, which is, you know, I think for some people, you know, that's going to, $1 a day, you know, on their travel, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're talking about a 50-cent increase in some places, and that they're including getting rid of 35 bus routes, two subway lines, and some off-peak weekend subway bus and commuter rail service will also be cut back.
Mm.
And it's, when you look at things like that, it's like, now, okay, if you still even have your job, how are you going to get to it?
Exactly.
You know, and then on top of that, we talked earlier about the surge in shantytowns.
Yes.
You know, apparently in Seattle, there's a 100-person encampment that's being called, they've named it Nicholsville.
Give it a name.
I mean, it's...
Because you can't go home to Nicholsville. We got to get people out of Nicholsville, okay?
It's just, that's a depression. That's what's going on,
Well,
you know?
Speaking of depression, I want to throw out this story really quickly, too. A young couple moves in with the woman's ex-husband, okay? Financially strapped couple moves in with the wife's ex-husband to save money, all right, in Omaha, Nebraska. The threesome are trying to find an arrangement that works.
Good luck on that.
Oh, my goodness.
That is not okay.
Together they raise the two kids and teach that divorced parents can get along. I guess you're going to have to if you have to move in.
Well, was it an early caller, or were you reading a comment about turning into, the idea that we all do we have an economic future ahead of us in which it is normal to have this sort of, you know, the single-family residence goes away?
Yes.
You know, we read a story the other day about a woman who was actually renting out her couch.
Yes.
And actually had to pick someone. Like, there were that many people who, that to me, mm-hmm. when you start looking at that effect, that change on our social structure, you know, and what people's expectation level is for their life. You know, in my own, where I live, I often see people hanging out in their cars and eating, you know, like having little like a lunch party on the curb. And I sometimes think that that's because there are a lot of people in these apartments.
Yeah. Well,
and it's a place to get some private space.
Well, this is what I asked this the other day. I said, you know, is the corporate vision for us, the people who don't have any money, and that's us included, Angela.
Yep.
Is their vision for the way that our lives is supposed to be in the future to go back to go to living four families in an apartment?
And, you know, a lot of the rise in homelessness and the surge of shantytowns in cities, you know, reading a quote from Michael Stoops, who's the executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless, he says that these are able-bodied folks that did day labor at minimum wage or better who were previously able to house themselves based on their income.
That's right.
Because there hasn't been, as we talked about earlier, commensurate, while everything else goes up, the price of everything, and we talked a lot yesterday about gas prices, you know, reaching epic proportions last year and how many of us aren't able to recover from that,
right.
You know, and the price of food going up, that people who could at least have some kind of a living off of their minimum wage or slightly above minimum wage jobs are now not able to do it because your interest rates, all that goes up, you know, but not your money.
Well, you know what? And I want to take a phone call really quickly, but I just, you know, I have to say this too. I've heard this lament from many of my friends and people that I know in their 30s saying, you know, I thought that by X age, 35, 36, that I would be living on my own. Why am
Maybe
I?
Maybe
you know,
even
that,
help my parents.
Yes. I would be living on my own. I have a roommate. I have friends who have personal shames because they have a they have to have a roommate at 40, 42, 45 years old, 50 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality for a lot of people right now. Let's talk to Devin in Astoria. Devin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I had two things I wanted to say. First, I have a new term for the Hoovervilles.
Oh.
Bushbergs.
Ooh,
nice.
Yes, and like it.
On a lighter note, or on a more positive note, I guess I should say, I'm a disabled vet suffering from PTSD, TBI, and it was really refreshing to hear President Obama speak about how we've been left behind.
Yes.
And how he's going to be focusing on that.
Thank you so much.
And Devin, thank you for your service. Thank you.
I am appalled. You know, I give to a charity that I sponsor a soldier, which the concept I find, you know, offensive, that here's this person who I've never met who's out there, you know, fighting for us or our country, mm-hmm. whether or not we agree with how we got there. And I'm sending him care packages of, like, food and clothing and medical supplies.
And toilet paper
and
water.
And it's, I thought I'd be sending him, like, you know, girly pictures or something.
Right.
Or guy pictures, whatever you're into. You know, but, like, I thought I'd be sending him something, you know,
mm-hmm.
fun. You know, maybe some iTunes or whatever.
Right.
But, no, I'm talking about stuff he's supposed to get.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is what we've done to our veterans or our soldiers right now. Let's talk to Prophet and El Segundo. Prophet, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yeah, hi gals.
Hi.
The idea is that the American dream is food, bed, and a roof over your head, and everyone in America is entitled to that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What we need is a Freedom from Poverty Act, the FFPA, where the poverty level, I'm not sure what it is, around 20,000
yes.
or whatever. It's determined. Anyone who is not at the poverty level or has not reached the poverty level, the government makes up the difference between this, like in paying taxes or once a year, so that people all over the country are all at poverty level, at least at poverty level. I mean, let's face it, if we can give millions of dollars in bonuses
to these
people, and if people are worried about helping the poor, they might be out there in the streets themselves collecting apples. So let's get past this us and them. It's we, the people, and we all need to think in terms of everyone in America.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to wake up in the morning and have some food for their kids, for themselves, and get past this insanity we call, depression is a state of mind. And this is what's happening to America. We're reaching a depressed state where people are living on the streets and in nickel camps, whatever. And let's get mad. We're as mad as hell. And if they can give billions of dollars to these banks, why not give it to the poor?
Thank you.
You know what?
Thank
I keep
you
asking.
So much. Yes.
I want to know.
I just want to throw this out really quickly for everybody. The 2009 poverty guidelines for the 48 contiguous states is for one person is $10,830. For if you go down to a family of four, it's $22,000.
Okay, explain to me how you one person lives on $10,800.
You can't.
Or let me say $10,801. Explain to me. How? Because I don't know about you, but my rent is $1,250.
Yeah.
So before we've even gotten halfway through the year, I'm broke.
Yes.
So what I don't understand, and I will keep saying it, is how you can have a minimum wage that puts you below the poverty guideline.
Right.
How is that possible? Or that doesn't allow you, that isn't livable. Maybe you're not below the poverty line, but you can't, that's not even rent
mm-hmm.
in most places in this country. 10,000 for a year, 10,800 or whatever, that doesn't even cover basic housing.
No. I just want to let you know that it's $3,000 more if you live in Alaska.
Why?
I don't know.
Alaska's, like, you, it's higher or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it's higher. It's $13,000 in Alaska.
Interesting.
That's the poverty line.
And that, you know, there's something about that fact that's totally stupefied me, and I don't know why. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, we also, when we come back, we want to talk some more about Geithner, and we want to talk about Bernanke and some of the AIG situation. In
yes.
particular, we talked yesterday about an AIG's open letter of, what is it, he quit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His
letter of resignation.
His letter of resignation.
And our feelings about that.
And we'll be talking to you about that.
Yes, we will. You know, Angela, I'm just, you know, it drives me crazy that that we're even talking about AIG, but, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. The number here is 1-800-STEP-12, 1-800-783-7412. I'm Frances Callier, and that's my friend Angela V. Shelton over there, and we are filling in right here for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are very honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right. We just pushed our names together and came up with Frangela.
That's right. Shoved them together.
Shoved them together. You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela1. And thank you so much for everybody who's following us on Twitter and became our friends.
We have a bunch of friends today. Just over this week. It's great. It's 6 minutes past the hour.
Yes, and the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
That's right. It is Thursday, March 26th, and I believe maybe even right now or about in a half hour or so, President Obama will be starting the town hall. It's actually
yes.
sort of midday,
mm-hmm.
the internet town hall, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be talking about that, of course, tomorrow, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we talked about a letter, an open letter.
Yes, from Jake DeSantis.
Yes, of AIG, and he brought up why he felt that it was unfair that his division, the financial products division, wasn't getting singled out as, you know, not having caused this problem or crisis. And,
right.
you know, while he didn't take his bonus, he had said he intends to give away his bonus.
That's right.
That he felt that he would like to have seen the new CEO of AIG take, or AIU.
Or AIOU.
Yeah, they changed their name for those of you who don't
yes.
know. Because, I don't know, like that helps. And they took the sign down at the front of the building. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
Really expressing anger about not getting supported by that man.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to talk a little bit more about that. And I think Bernanke was questioned.
Yes, he was.
When he was in front of the Financial Services, House Financial Services Committee the other day. So let's play 21.
Yeah.
I asked that the AIG FP payments be stopped, but was informed that they were mandated by contracts agreed to before the government's intervention. I then asked that suit be filed to prevent the payments. Legal staff counseled against this action on the grounds that Connecticut law provides for substantial punitive damages if the suit would fail. Legal action could thus have the perverse effect of doubling or tripling the financial benefits to the AIG FP employees.
Yeah. And then I think Geithner went on to say that we really couldn't stop them.
No.
In 23.
Yeah.
Here we go, Tim Geithner.
Yeah.
About
but, you know,
we'll find
AIG highlights very broad failures of our financial system. Our regulatory system was not equipped to prevent the buildup of dangerous levels of risk. Compensation practice rewarded short-term profits over long-term financial stability, overwhelming the checks and balances in the system.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I know that that a lot of people, we were in particular not really moved to empathy. I wasn't moved to empathy by the open letter.
No, I was not. But you know what? Let's talk to our friend Michael Fox from the Smirking Chimp in Los Angeles. Michael, he wants to talk about this as well. You're on Stephanie Miller with Frangela.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Of course. I have a couple of things. First of all, you know, since the merger / acquisition,
mm-hmm.
they should just change their name to AIUSA.
Nice.
AIUSA.
Simplify it. Let's acknowledge the ownership.
Okay.
Yeah.
For real.
Yesterday, Francis brought up the open letter from this Jake DeSantis in the New York Times. And, you know, after reading that, and I also read a piece on Bloomberg, Francis, I have to blame you. You made me bump my infrastructure column because I got so worked up.
Well, we were annoyed by the letter. We were like, you know what? When your company fails, why are you taking money from the government if you have a sector of it that wasn't failing?
Exactly. And what's fascinating about this to me is that in every single case, this DeSantis, as well as a half dozen people profiled on Bloomberg, who are lower down the food chain, you know, everything from an IT tech guy and traders, whatever. Everybody, no matter what they express, what they don't express is any sense of personal responsibility.
None whatsoever. Or, or even having some compassion about the fact of everybody whose company has failed or has had to have cutbacks or couldn't get a bonus. What about that other people?
The caterers, the people, the print shops around the neighborhood. But I also wanted to point out that the average pay there was $353,000 a year.
Right.
A lot of these people were working, and a lot of these people were making much, much more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were working there for 10 years. So for them to come out and give us their tales of woe, well, if they were such brilliant people, and they knew so much about investing, why weren't their investments diversified and protected conservatively so that they have money when they're out of work?
Oh.
They can't all be suddenly broke unless they were idiots.
Ooh, look at you. Now, you know what I hear is, Michael Fox, you're saying you'd like to see the talented be talented.
I'd like to see these talented people who are so highly compensated for their supposed best and brightestness prove it.
Yeah.
And by claiming that within months of being laid off they have nothing, that doesn't prove to me that they were the best and the brightest if they were working 10 and 12 years there.
Right.
And remember that this sector, it's not just Wall Street, it's not just New York. There are people in Chicago, there are people in Beverly Hills, downtown.
And in London.
In San Francisco and London, and they're all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right.
It's not just New York, and they are affecting their communities immediately all over.
Yes.
And so that's why I called it Hubris Never Dies in my column on the Smirking Chimp.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't quit. It goes right down the line. I have one other thing I've got to get in.
Okay.
Angela, tag. Uh-huh. Angela, V for Vixen Shelton.
V for Vixen. You know, we're going to have to set up a vote on this, Michael.
Thank you so much.
You know, I think Geithner, if we have 24, we talked about, you know, the problems with dealing with the financial sector.
Yes.
The companies insured by AIG in the United States alone employ one in three Americans. AIG directly guarantees over $30 billion of 401k and pension plan investments and is the leading provider of retirement services for teachers and education institutions.
So that's one of the things that Michael was saying is that these people, it's everywhere.
Yes.
And that there's so many people affected by this crisis, not just these executives.
Yeah, it's systemic. It truly is systemic. And the reality is that we are in a place where now we're having discussions about, can we really get in here and get into these companies like the FDIC does in the banks? Let's talk to Mark in San Francisco. Mark, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you for waiting.
I have 2 points I want to make. One is the question was raised in the earlier hour, why isn't this working and why not give the money to the American people? The reality is that the credit default swaps and the other derivative issues are mathematically larger than our capacity to fulfill them. So the reality is that we aren't going to be able to stop the top level catastrophe that's going on. And that's just a fact we have to learn to accept.
Yeah.
And so we have to adapt. That's part of what's happening in our society right now. And the adaption I'm suggesting is that people stop focusing on trying to find a job, but remember that America is an entrepreneurial place, and to try and create a service or a good, even at the dime scale. Because if you got nothing, and now you're getting dimes, that's something. And that's what this country's built on, and that's how we can pull ourselves together.
American ingenuity.
Yeah, and there, you know, when I went to Grateful Dead shows way back in the day.
So did I. You're speaking my language, Mark.
There were people in the parking lot selling organic burritos before you could get organic burritos at the store. Right? There are tremendous opportunities in this country, and if you use price points that are low and cost analysis for your business that's low, you can start out small and build it. And pretty soon, instead of paying money to these giant corporations that are clearly ripping us off, we're paying money to village businesses. You know who your meat is coming from. You know where your corn is coming from. And that's the direction we're heading, whether we like it or not, because the reality is the global financial institutions have turned us into the Philippine labor source that you guys were talking about earlier.
We are really now Mark.
With China and South America and Mexico, and that's what they want. And there's nothing we can do about it, but we are the people, and the law does flow from us. We, the people, is what it says in the Constitution. So instead of looking for something outside yourself, do something yourself that puts money in your pocket. And don't take no for an answer.
Look
don't
at you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
You know, actually, there was an article today at CNN.com talking about, and I have mixed feelings about this philosophy. I hear Mark's saying, and I like the hopeful tone of it.
Yeah.
And let me say that I agree that you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
But I have a little bit of a critique of it, but in any case, it talks about literally commentary. No job, create your own.
Yeah.
And here are some problems with creating your own job. One, it's been shown that small businesses don't generally work out very well. And they, you know, we know lots of people who, you know, you have a family business or whatever, and it's a problem. You know, it's very hard to keep them going. You can't get health insurance. You can't. It doesn't solve a lot of your immediate problems.
Right.
The tax situation is very different when you do that. But I heard a story. This guy's talking about, you know, figuring out things that you could provide a service for. For example, on the last couple of days on some other programs, I've heard these stories. A man who's an architect who had been fired. He got laid off twice last year, and he's for the final, I think the final layoff was like the layoff, the firing layoff from a firm. And so what he started doing is he hangs out at a farmer's market he goes to this farmer's market, and he has a nickel jar, and for a nickel you can get home improvement advice from him. And what he does is, the plan is to try to turn that into a business. So what happens is, like, a couple comes up and they're like, oh, we don't know what to, if we should expand our kitchen or remodel it or whatever. They put a nickel in and he says, well, tell me about your kitchen. He talks to them for a minute, and then his goal is, then he comes over to get them to set up an appointment. And then he goes over and looks at the situation. They say their needs, and then he comes up with a plan. And of course, he's creating this Rolodex of people.
Right.
And ultimately, what he hopes is that they'll look at his plan, like it, and implement it. The problem is, of course, people don't really have the money to do some of these things right now.
Right.
But he's like, you know what? When people start having the money and they start rebounding, I will have created this Rolodex, you know, full of people who want to do home improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, it's a nickel, but that's because that's what. You know, anybody will stop for a nickel.
Right.
And so, and then there was a story that I was listening to today about a woman who started this business called the, what's it called, the Smack Shack?
The Smash Shack.
Which is actually an idea I had.
Okay.
I actually implemented years ago.
She used to live in a loft.
I had a really big loft in downtown Detroit because it's huge and empty and it's a historic building. And so I had like a studio, I had a writing room, I had a dressing room. I mean, it was ridiculously huge and very cheap. And I had a room called my anger room. And because downtown Detroit is deserted, so I would throw bottles out of the window on the street when I was angry or frustrated, but then I feel guilty and I have to go down and sweep it up.
Right.
So we had this big empty room at one end of the office and of the apartment, and so I called it the anger room, and you could come over and just break glass in it.
Well, lo and behold, a woman in San Diego has turned this into a business. Because people are angry, and she has decided that she has a place where you can come and write the name of the whoever made you angry on a bottle or a plate, and you can just smash that and get your anger out.
Yeah.
And she's charging people are paying $25 to come and smash things. Because that's how mad people are.
And the reality is, as we've said earlier in the program, that, you know, when we do emerge from this recession/depression, it's unlikely that companies that have figured out how to operate with, you know, half the workforce are going to go hire those people back.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, this is decrepit and decaying. Corporate America is decaying from the inside out. And I've said it, I'm looking at the last, like, the meat has been picked off the bones. It's like watching Skeletor operate up in corporate America right now. I mean, seriously, because people, you go to any business, you go watch anybody working at your job right now. It's empty, and if you're at work, if you happen to have a job and be grateful to have a job, you've got four different people's work on your desk.
Yeah, because the work didn't go away.
because the work didn't go away and you didn't get any more money. I am so angry about it. Every time I see it, it brings me to almost tears.
Yeah.
You know? So I just want you to know that if you're at work right now and you're listening to my voice, our voices, I'm mad for you right now.
We're all mad. And if you're out of work, we're mad.
And we're mad. I'm mad about that, too. Okay.
We'll be back with more Frangry Friday language.
I'm sorry. The number here is 1-800-STEP-1-2. This is Frangela filling in for Stephanie Miller and the MOOCs on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the MOOCs are on vacation this week, so we've been filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her very best friend, Frances Gallagher.
That's right. We just switched our names together and got Frangela.
That's right.
It is 25 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEP-1-2. We have a lot of callers on the line, and we want to get to what you have to say. Let's talk to David in Deerfield Beach. David, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello. We're doing the wrong thing. We were told to give our country away to the rich people, and this way, maybe they'll give us a job.
Right.
That was the whole wrong idea.
Yeah.
What we should have done is kept our country, run it ourselves, and this way, there will be plenty of work for anybody, everybody, and we just do enough work to supply ourselves with our needs, and we wouldn't even have to work so much.
Yeah.
We work 2 or 3 days a week, and we supply everything. But hoping that the rich people, if we go to college and get a college
right.
degree and get a PhD, maybe if they feel like it, they might give us a job.
Yeah.
It's a very wrong idea.
It is the wrong direction, David. I agree with you.
And you're absolutely right. We've heard that critique for the last several weeks, is the reason that we have to bail out these huge corporations, and the reason why you can't tax rich people, you know, more their fair share, if you will.
Right.
Because, you know, I never had a poor man give me a job.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Well, you know what? An image I saw someplace I was looking at this week someone was doing some art, and it was the king from a chessboard with the rook tied to it, with the pawn tied to it. And that's the thing is that our futures are tied together, and we are tied to the rich.
Well, yeah, because this is a consumer economy. So
yes.
When you don't pay people enough, they can't buy the products.
Yes.
When you don't pay people enough and you charge them so much for health care, they can't buy homes. They can't live anywhere. Then the economy fails. This concept that if corporations do better, we all do, I question that, the logic of that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to Myra in Hollywood, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela. Myra?
Oh, hey, what a pleasure to talk to my favorite babysitters.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to mention something that one of the callers said, and I first preface it by saying I know nothing about economy. I'm learning as we go.
Right.
But I do think when he suggested that instead of giving money to banks, we should give it to poor people, that sounds good on the surface, but in the end wouldn't help us, I think. When we give to banks, the idea supposedly is that they lend money and that money makes things happen. And when things happen, people become involved and start making and spending and living again. And poor people need our donations and our help, but not to replace what's given to the banks, because that's very purposeful in the larger picture.
Right. I think a lot of people...
Well, thank you,
Myra. And that's the idea behind the stimulus, although it hasn't really happened. In fact, they've raised interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
They're not giving more credit. They're giving less. And I don't know, that needs to happen,
right.
Clearly.
Someone just really quickly wrote to us on Facebook and was saying, I just got somebody offered to raise my credit card limit, but for each $100 that they raise, they're going to charge me $20. For that raise. That is
how
crazy.
That, okay, you know what?
The number here is 1-800-STEP-1-2.
That's not an offer. That's not helpful.
No, I know, Tony. I know. Give us a call. We're Frangela filling in for the Stephanie Miller Show.
do you think you're talking to?
Stephanie Miller.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
That's right, it's 33 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12 or 1-800-783-7412.
It is Thursday, March 26th, and I want to give a shout out to the live bloggers.
Hi, live bloggers.
And thank you, Chris Lavoie, for doing all your hard work, even when you're on vacation.
I know, that guy is always working.
Thank you to Stephanie and Jim and everybody for letting us be here and for treating us so nicely.
Yes, and I want to throw out, too, that we are going to be in Sacramento.
That's right, we are. We're going to be in Sacramento next week, April 2nd through the 5th, at the Punchline Comedy Club.
Yes, I'm very excited.
The information's on our website at frangela.com. That's frangela.com. And then we'll be in Chicago.
Yes.
April 13th through the 19th for the Chicago Improv Festival.
Yes.
So I know we got listeners in Chicago. You should come check it out.
Check it out. Oh, I want to read a post here at Facebook at Frangela Duo. Stacy said, Frangela, those of us that are still employed act like we have Stockholm Syndrome. Girl, I hear you. I may be grateful that I'm employed, but I, too, am bitter and frangry that the work has just magically been absorbed by all the other workers.
Yeah, it's really, you know, no kind of, it's got to be incredibly frustrating to look at, to be working at a company that's laying off people. You've got no job security. And also, we've heard over and over again, people are so afraid to lose their jobs that they're putting up with things that they normally would not put up with. You know, like being forced to work hours overtime without getting paid and taking on other people's work without getting the commiserate title or raise that goes with it.
That's right. Let's talk to Lisa in Mission Viejo. She wants to talk about being self-employed. Lisa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, my God. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I so enjoyed you this week.
Oh, thank you so much.
I have to say, oh, my gosh, I'm getting my kids at the car.
That's okay.
sorry. I've been self-employed for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like this, like what you guys are saying, because I have responsibility for my own life.
Right.
And I've always had this, so if I don't provide good service for people, they're not going to come back to me.
Right.
And I work in a salon, and there's a salon on every corner, and there's always somebody around the corner who can help someone else. So I have to always have this, you know, providing
service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Talent.
Yep.
Yes, your talent.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for calling, Lisa. Yeah, the reality is that we have moved away from providing good service. It's amazing to me when you call like a service quote unquote center sometimes, and people are
they
like,
treat you like a criminal harassing them.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Not everybody.
No, but
because sometimes some people do give you really great service.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's so rare.
Yeah,
that you want to. I've almost started weeping.
Yeah,
I'm
I
like,
know.
Are you helping me?
I know. That happened to Angela.
You're such a good person.
I know.
Thank you.
She's like, she called me up. She was like, oh my goodness, somebody just helped me.
I got good service, and it kind of threw me into some sort of weird coma.
Yes,
I couldn't believe it had happened.
Let's talk to Norm in Tucson. Norm, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have my MBA through the university here in Tucson, and you know what strikes me is the notion of ethics and business. You know, I don't know what those Eastern high powered schools are teaching those high powered execs that are stealing money, but ethics is definitely not on the top of the list.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's a required course too.
Yeah, you know, the notion of giving back to the community and providing for those that. You know, I just maybe that's just something that is inbred or learned by your parents and stuff. But it just strikes me that anybody that would get $400 million in stock options or bonuses, I mean, where's the logic when there's people here starving in this country or in other parts of the world? You know,
so
I just can't see that logic and just kind of like the Russians of the world beat up our school systems for teaching. About diversity.
Exactly. Yes.
And then when we get to college level, there's a level of ethics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't understand the separate notions or thoughts of these people.
Thank you.
They're not
accountable.
pretty much un-American.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Norm.
No, there was a time in this country, and I don't want to start that before the show's over, but we're providing your workers with a livable wage. And I remember, you know, I grew up in Michigan, in Detroit, in Dearborn, and, you know, as a city, you know, where there's one of the biggest plants, Ford plants. And, you know, I remember seeing all these ads, even as a kid, is that, you know, being proud of their company for providing a livable wage, for having workers who owned their own homes and had new cars and were able to send their kids to school. The company, in sort of their rhetoric or advertising, took pride in how it treated its workers.
Right.
Now, they seem to take pride in getting rid of workers.
Yes.
That shows how good of a company you have when you're able to get less people to do more for less.
Exactly. That's exactly the point, Angela. Let's talk to Eddie in Chicago. Eddie, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, basically, I just wanted to talk about money and how, this is a point that not that many people have probably thought of or viewpoint, but I think it's a form of silent dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that is money represents power, and it's been dictating the way that we live our lives since forever.
Right.
and basically, these big companies, I think they know this, and for some reason, we're acting like we're puppets on a string, and they're playing games with us, and I am sick of it. I think this is a time where people need to be optimistic about this economic situation and realize what is valuable. What do you really value? And that just seems like the way I have to look at it, because if people don't, then we're in a civil war right now. And it's a financial civil war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
Then you have a choice to whether play the game or to find what's valuable and not look at money as something that represents power, but look at it like a resource, like water.
Right. Yeah.
And use the resource. Don't abuse it.
Right.
So that's really all
you know what? I do.
Thank you, Eddie.
Eddie, I absolutely agree with the notion that we have to conspicuous consumption, if you will, and we need to take a look at how we all live. But the reality is, obviously, you have to have money.
Right.
Because without it, you're usually are homeless, and can't eat.
You know what, Angela, when I look at Bernanke saying, making the statement that we couldn't stop these payments, what that says to me is that we are held hostage. We're being held hostage, and we do have Stockholm syndrome. Okay, we are in the shock doctrine. We really are. We can't help it. And breaking out of it, this gentleman is Eddie was just talking about. We're gonna have to rethink what our relationship is to money.
Well, I'd like to have one. I'd like to have so. I promise not to cheat on it. To show up every day.
I don't know if I can make those kind of promises. Let's talk to Ken in Madison. Ken, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I look at it this way. I actually kind of feel bad that the CEO of AIG, the current one, left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you can find a CEO that will work for a dollar.
Right. Yeah.
And this wasn't really his fault with these bonuses.
Right.
This was a prior CEO's, commitment to them. And, I mean, it's a shame that he's the one who got basically became the whipping boy.
Yes, he did.
And, not to kind of go off subject here, but we actually had on our local AM station I listened to before, Stephanie Miller and Frangela.
Yay.
They actually had a Ford rep, one of their executive reps here in Madison on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And a talk show host said, "Do you know what Henry Ford said?" And the rep goes, "No, you'll have to remind me."
Yeah.
And Henry Ford says, "I'm building products that my employees can afford to have."
That's right.
And it blows my mind that a lot of these companies don't do that anymore.
No.
That they're not supporting their employees anymore. They're, like you said, they're basically, clapping them, patting themselves on the back for not bringing in employees and keeping them, paying them a fair wage. They're trying to figure out how they can get the same amount of work done with less employees and cheaper.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right, thank you very much, Ken.
A mind, a way that this happens.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. You're absolutely right. It's a complete shift, I think, in the last 20 or so years in how we look at the working class and working people in the middle class.
Right.
And our contributions. Now we're talking about the talent of the financial wizards
and
who
how
brought us to this crisis. That's what we've got to protect?
That's what we have to protect them, Angela. We have to. Otherwise, this country will fall apart. The number here is 1-800-STEP-12. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks, Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward, are on a much-deserved vacation this week. So we are filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V for Vixen Shelton.
And her very BFF, Francis Sexy Pants Callier.
Holding it down.
Holding it down.
We are going to have to clean up before Mama gets back.
Oh, because this place is a mess.
She would be so mad. It's 47 minutes past the hour.
Yes, and the number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
That's right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. But we are now, on this Thursday, March 26th, moving into a little something that Frangela calls Idiot of the Week. That's where we give the untalented, the stupid, their time in the sun, their moment to shine, and the credit they so richly deserve. Because let me tell you something about stupid.
What?
It doesn't take time off.
No, it does not.
If you were stupid, you were stupid 24/7.
All the time.
And it's time that we had a Nobel Prize of sorts for you. A Frangela Idiot Prize. So we do this every day, and then on Friday we will crown the most idiot isness of the week. So let us get started. These are our friends and our family. They deserve our time and support.
Yes, in Saginaw, Michigan, a man gets 90 days in jail after a vacuum sex act.
Yeah. See, what happened was that he apparently was at a car wash.
Yeah.
And this man, and he had a relationship of sorts with the vacuum.
The car wash vacuum.
The car wash vacuum. He was busted.
Yeah.
And he's going to get 90 days in jail, which I think is a little excessive. I do. I think 90 days is a little harsh.
You know what, Angela? You know, this is the thing. We don't have a right to keep this man away from the object that he loves.
I don't know if it was consensual. I'm assuming it was.
I hope it was.
But
he paid money to be in this relationship.
Well, yeah, you do have to put money in.
Yes, you do.
Maybe it's the prostitution aspect.
You know what?
That's what they don't approve of.
There's no signs out there saying what you can and cannot vacuum.
But there are laws about public nudity, et cetera, and what is it, bad behavior, lewd behavior.
Right.
There are lewd behavior laws.
I hope he was in his car.
You know what? But he got busted.
Yeah, you're
people,
right.
Your alone times are exactly that.
They are alone times.
That's an alone time activity.
It really is. You know what?
And that's a stupid thing to go to jail for.
I know. You may have to put the money down and get yourself a Hoover.
Dyson.
A Dyson.
Depending on your needs. It's supposed to be a good product.
It's
I haven't used it.
I
haven't
used it. You know what? I would love to
a
use
Red
a
Devil. Whatever. However you roll.
However you roll.
Dustbuster.
Right.
I'm not judging.
Eureka.
I'm just saying you can't do it at the car wash.
That's right.
90 days is a lot.
Yes.
I mean, I think for that, I know people who have had, hit people driving drunk who didn't get 90 days.
I know.
Something about this. I wonder if it's the vacuum was cheating on him. Like if the judge or something had a relationship with that vacuum. I don't know. There's something in here that
yeah,
I don't.
3 months.
That seems like an awful lot. It must not. Maybe he had some other priors that we're not aware of.
Yeah, maybe
he's been abusing vacuums all over the state.
It
does make me rethink going to that car wash.
It really does. It really does.
Because I don't want my car catching a disease.
Right when you come to
my innocent virginal Corolla.
You have to put a dustbuster on your car vac. I don't know.
We're having too much fun with that. All right, next idiot nominee for today, Thursday, March 26th.
I don't understand. This man leaves burning. We'll read it. Okay. Police said a man who left his house, after it caught fire, didn't bother running to a neighbor for help.
Or calling anyone. Didn't call the fire department, didn't call 911, didn't stand on his porch and go, fire!
Mm-mm.
Did none of those things. What he did do was get on his, some sort of all-terrain vehicle,
yeah,
right?
His ATV.
Get in on ATV and ride over a mile to his friend's house.
But since he couldn't get anybody out of bed over there, which makes me question this relationship.
Well, yeah, it also says to me that people were home, but not waking up no matter what he did, which who knows what that's about.
Okay, so what did he do? He decided to go to sleep on a boat parked on the property.
So police, somebody else in the neighborhood sees this house on fire. They call the fire department. They come put out the blaze, and then they're afraid, the person who lives here must have died in the fire.
Right.
They bring a cadaver dog. They search around. They can't find him. And then finally they figure out that he's fallen asleep at this other guy's house.
Yeah.
They found some cocaine on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when you read a story, the headline is Man Leaves Burning Home, Fails to Seek Help. Right away you go, smells like meth.
Yes.
Smells like something.
Something's in there. Because nobody... when you are... What kind of fool are you? You walk out of a burning building and you don't say anything.
Like, well, that's gone. And apparently it started as just a rug fire, a rug caught on fire. And the fire department was like, we could have put this out. I mean, it didn't have to destroy the whole house. But he's like, what are you going to do? What's this caught on fire? That's pretty much it.
What's done is done.
And we know the fire started because of something stupid he did.
I know.
So let's start with that.
Okay.
Next up.
Okay.
This comes from one of our Army of the Anti-Down, Brigadier General Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Jacksonville, Florida. Police pulled over a young man, Ryan Smith, after receiving a tip that he might be hauling some marijuana.
Yes.
In his pickup truck. Upon inspection, the cops discovered that he was indeed transporting 17 pot plants.
But this is Ryan's excuse. He said he told the cops that burglars had been active in his neighborhood and he was moving the plants to another location for safekeeping.
I mean, don't use your product, man.
No, dude. You don't look,
sir. You had 17 marijuana plants in the back of your pickup truck.
Okay, dude. Okay.
Do you have an explanation for that?
Yeah, I do. This is the deal. Okay, like there's been a rash of break-ins.
Uh-huh.
My neighborhood has become like so incredibly like unstable.
You think that has
insane.
Anything to do with the growth of drug houses in that area?
But
go on, continue.
Dude,
your neighborhood's become unsafe.
It's very unsafe. Okay, these plants need to be someplace safe.
Missing the point entirely. It's not that they were in the truck, sweetie. Sweetie Ryan, that wasn't the real problem. The problem is that they exist at all.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
The cops were not sympathetic.
They weren't sympathetic, and they arrested him. Next up.
Yes.
This is in England.
Yes.
these two people, Linda and Peter Garnett. Came up with an idea. Times are tough, right?
Times are tough, y'all.
So this is when the stupid decide to flaunt their stupidity. They thought, you know what we need? We need a really big check.
Yeah.
We need a really big check that we can put in our bank account, and then we'd have money.
Yeah. So what do they decide to do? They get a new computer, and they print up on their new printer a check for $16.6 million.
Made out to them.
Yes.
You guys... It's a real problem. It's all right away. It's stupid, right? You're like,
right.
Oh, that's 16. I like that they had the 0.6, and you know they had discussion about that.
Right.
Like, 10
it
is enough. 10 million is enough. 16, something that sounds like it, 16.6. Like, there was, I bet you there were hours of stupid discussion about that, but it gets even more dumb.
Yes.
Because not only did they go to deposit the $16.6 million fake check into their account, at the same time, what other check did they bring with them to deposit?
They tried to cash their welfare check at the same time.
Okay, people. Let's just go with the assumption that you were going to get this $16.6 million past the teller.
Right.
All right. First of all, you should know that they hold all checks, especially big ones like that. But let's say that none of that happened. When you gave it to the teller with the welfare check, that's like a big red flag.
You just can't do that, you idiots.
And our final idiot for today.
Yes.
Oh, this is Riverside, California.
Yeah, three arrested in memorabilia theft. Police arrested three people on charges of burglary possession of stolen property in a case that came together after one suspect allegedly tried to fence the good at the same store that was reported stolen from.
That's right. They stole from a store and then tried to resell it back to them. And this is memorabilia. It isn't like stealing a bar of soap or something.
Right, or a Butterfinger.
It's been identified and cataloged and logged. You know, I'm going to have to say that I think I'm going to have to go with, there's some drugs involved in a lot of these.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the check people. I'm going to go with the $16.6 million bozos who went into the bank with their welfare check at the same time.
You know what, Angela? I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that. You know, the height of stupidity.
Francis, there was a time in this country.
Girl, there was a time in this country.
There was a time in this country when you were going to commit check fraud.
Yeah.
You had the good sense to not do it with your welfare check in tow. Okay.
Yes, girl, there was a time in this country that when you went to work, you did just your job, not eight other people's jobs.
That's right. You didn't come to work angry. You might have left angry,
right.
But you didn't show up at 9:01 angry.
No.
There was a time in this country, Francis, there was a time when providing your employees with a decent wage, health care, maybe a holiday party or two, a barbecue, and something called job security was something corporations were actually proud of, not completely unwilling to do.
Yes. Girl, there was a time in this country that when you lived someplace, okay, you know, we didn't have to come up with new names for it, like Hoovervilles and Bush Gardens and Bush Baby, Bush Bushy.
Bush, baby Bush, Bush. And there was a time in this country, there was a time in this country when veterans came home to educational opportunities,
yes,
employment, and some form of health care or help. Not rising unemployment, possible homelessness, and no help at all.
No.
What's going on? And there was a time in this country, Francis, there was a time when the president had to get on a train.
Yes.
To do a whistle-stop tour.
All right, nothing, but the, now that there's the internet,
that's
you can
right.
do it anytime.
And he's doing it now.
I'm Francis Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
Thank you so much for listening to The Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be back tomorrow.